Because wherever there's that kind of anointing, there's always the miraculous. Now think about this. Jesus, heaven's best. Wouldn't you think he's heaven's best? In his own hometown, he could do no miracles because he was not honored. And so wherever we honor him, it loose miracles. So you have to understand, if lack of honor could stop Jesus, it could even be a problem for you. I want you to think about that for a minute. Okay. My wife's going to have some words of knowledge. Okay.
So as he's talking about miracles during worship, God was giving me some words of knowledge of people who are going to get a healing today. And the first thing I heard was respiratory problems. I don't know who that is, but I believe God is going to heal that. And then thyroid disorder. I don't know who that is, but God's going to touch thyroid. And I heard brain disorder. I don't know if it's like someone starting with dementia or something going on in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I just thank you that these are your words of knowledge. And, Lord, you're going to do something today. Lord, you're going to touch your people and you're going to heal them and make them whole in the name of Jesus.
Amen. So we're going to look forward to that. So the reverse is, because there's the honor of the Lord, it becomes a seedbed for miracles. So that's the flip side. So I just want you to reach up into heaven and I want you to think about a particular miracle you want for yourself right now. And I just want to say, in Jesus' name, I pull it down. I receive that miracle. Okay. Now, while we're standing, I want you to think of somebody who maybe has lost their faith, maybe they're paralyzed. Remember when those four men let that paralytic through the roof? It says when Jesus saw their faith, not his. Do you know your faith can give somebody a miracle that lost their faith? So think of somebody who lost their faith and they're paralyzed, and let's just drop them in front of Jesus, but let's reach up our hand, use our faith to believe for a miracle for them. And I'm thinking of somebody very particular right now. And in Jesus' name, I pull a miracle down from heaven to earth in Jesus' name. Just say, in Jesus' name, I pull it down for them. Yeah. Now, you'll not get what you need, you'll get what you believe. You say, well, why would God do that? Because if it was need-based, it would not be relationship-based. See, your faith is your relationship with him. And, you know, in marriage, if you don't have faith that your wife loves you, how many know the fact that you're hungry and she brings you a meal don't mean much? Do you understand? And so you may be seated in heavenly places. How many of you have ever had your mom tell you where to sit? Okay. Do you know what the Father said? The Father said, I'm seating you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and don't you move. Now, if you listen to your mom, you ought to listen to Father God. You ought to at least do it out of the fear until you start enjoying it. Okay. How many of you have heard me speak before? Raise your hand. Okay, I see some faces. Okay. How many of you have never heard me speak before? Okay, I've been looking for you for a long time, okay? I knew you'd be here today. Anyway, I just want to share, my wife Lou Ann and I, we just got back from Brazil, and man, we had the fire of God fall. Interesting, 22 years ago, she had her experience, and maybe have some of her share that, and we go to minister, prophesy, maybe a release of the fire of God. Some of you might want a little bit of fire, and what I want to do today is I want to talk and prophesy and share some things. How many of you read the David book? Wave your hand at me, okay? Okay, so in this, I want to encourage you. When I wrote this book, it changed my life. And I didn't really know I was writing on identity until I wrote about the last part of it. Then I had to go back through the whole book and put it in. And I would get it by revelation, sometimes 4 hours in the middle of the night, sometimes 15 minutes. But when the anointing would lift, I just stopped writing. So I can actually read that book and learn. The parts that were good, that's him. And the parts that weren't so good, well, that was Dale. So, but the interesting part was when the spirit of revelation would come, I'd wake up, I'd write as fast as I could, typing. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd look at the words and I realized they didn't reflect the revelation. So I'd go back and change it. Sometimes it would be verbatim, I just wouldn't touch it. But what amazed me was when a spirit of revelation comes over you, you start seeing things you don't know because you know him. Do you know what you're about to do is beyond you? I'm saying, let me say it differently. What God's about to do is beyond you, but it's not without you. If you're not amazed what God does through you, you're not yet connected to the Father. I just a little side note. One day I was thanking God for the wisdom he gave me, and he said, could we talk about this, Dale? And I knew I felt really like this is going to be a good conversation. He said, you know that idea and that idea? I said, yeah. He said, that was me. He said, you know that one over there didn't work out so well? I said, yeah. He said, that was you without me. Now, see, when his thoughts get in your thoughts, his heart gets in your heart, his ways get in your ways, you see what he's seeing, then what happens is you start moving with him, and it's like you become one. The Bible says a man and a woman become one, yet he talks about a mystery as us with Christ. And until you, as long as you see him as the God up there, you're never going to do anything. Really, it's in the air of the Spirit. You have to see him as the, I put it like this. You were made in his image so you could fit into him and so he could fit into you. Now, if I was God, I'd never want to fit in anybody. Aren't you glad I'm not God? I'm glad you're not either, so we're even. So, see, God said, I want to fit in you and you fit in me because I really want you to dwell in me and I want to dwell in you. We are called the temple. Not just the I, but we. So don't ever get separated from the body of Christ. The wine is in the cluster. It's not in the crazy grape. And if you can't get along with other Christians, then the love you claim to have needs an upgrade. And God will let you sit beside Brother Sandpaper and Sister Drive You Nuts until you get filled with the love of God. So anyway, okay, are we having fun yet? Okay. So I'm going to do a little circle. I'm going to talk about this just a minute. Because my sermons are, in a sense, my books. It's not selling, but these are prophetic truths that have helped me do what I'm doing. Does that make sense? So, and I'm writing more, but I wrote on Two Sons and the Father, and in this, what I realized was the prodigal had to leave the famine, the foreign land, the pigs, to come back home to his father who was waiting outside for him. Now, what's interesting is the father cannot go to the pig pen to get the prodigal. The prodigal has to come to himself. But the father's waiting. And you know, after eating with the pigs, you can get a revelation. Now, the elder son, he was in his father's fields, his father's fruitfulness, working with his father's servants. He could not make it back to the father's house. And the father was waiting outside for him as well. Remember, he said, everything I have is what? When did he get it? Huh? How did he have it? When did he receive it? No. Remember when the prodigal said, I want my inheritance? It says the father divided it. Okay. But why didn't he have it? Because he judged his father for blessing his brother who did not deserve it. So he tried to earn. And God said, if you earn it, you're my employee. I want you to be my son. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, to be, a lot of times, you have to understand that Father God gave an inheritance to Adam and Eve, and literally through sin we lost it. But through Jesus Christ, who came back, he died, and he put us in his will. And a lot of people are waiting to get their inheritance when they get to heaven, but there's actually streets of gold, you know, gates of pearl. You really don't need your inheritance in heaven. You need it here. And actually, if you know this, if you die, you get taken out of the will. So if there's seven brothers and sisters and your parents are still alive and three of them die, your inheritance just went up. I didn't say push them in front of traffic. I just said it's a fact, you know? Do you understand? Okay, because you have an inheritance for here. Now this, I'm making fun, but I'm making a very serious point. The devil has duped the church into thinking we get our inheritance when we go to heaven. And so we're not living. This story is about how to receive your inheritance. And so this is the deal. Until you receive your inheritance, you'll never do anything great on earth with Father God. And in it, what happened, and I will just tell you this, asking is the privilege of sons. And while the prodigal asked with a wrong motive, he actually had the key. You have not because you ask not. And if you don't ask the Father, it does not work. When you were a parent and you had a little kid, you know how they put the candy at the low level? And you go out and your kid's chewing gum and you didn't buy it. How many of you have a problem? Why? They took it and they didn't ask. So you took them back. I took my son back and I said, he wants to return this. He stole this. I want to pay for it. And the person said, oh, he's so cute. It's okay. I said, are you trying to train my son to be a thief? It's not okay. Just shut up before I handcuff you. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And you know, if my kid lays on the ground and screams for gum, I'm not giving it to him. I'm not reinforcing bad behavior. But when he asked me as a father, said, Dad, I'd like to have some son. I'd like to have gum. Now it's about a relationship. See, some of you, you have to learn, because you never learned to ask your natural father things. Well, unless you were a girl, you'd go to your father instead of your mother. And if you're a boy, you'd go to your mother instead of your father. Isn't that the way it worked most of the time? There's a couple exceptions, because you knew who you could get the yes from. I think that's why more women have confidence in Father God, because their father gave them stuff and the men got turned down. Because it's harder for men to ask Father God from a natural upbringing. Does that make sense? Okay, so once you understand that, God said to me, he said, Dale, he said, this is about 10 years ago, he said, or so, probably 20. Anyway, when you get older, some of you that have gray hair or less hair, you know what I'm talking about. He said, Dale, ask what you want, and if you ask small, it's just going to hurt you. I hope you ask big enough that I can get involved with your future. And if you don't need a miracle in your plan, then you don't need me. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm gonna give this book here, Two Sons and a Father, to you. Okay, and what's your first name? Jason? Jason. Okay, so I just want to give you a short prophetic word. And you know, when I'm prophesying to people, if you feel the anointing hit you, you say, I'll take some of that too. How many of you have ever stole a prophetic word from somebody else? You do it all the time. I can prove it to you. How many of you ever claimed be strong and courageous? That's Joshua's prophetic word. Leave it alone. But see, what God says to one person is a principle of what God does for anyone who will believe him. So the Bible is actually the law and the prophets, the rules, and then it's God speaking to us. Now, how many know if you don't have rules, you don't need grace? All the way up here, they had signs on the speed limit. If there is no law, I can't be arrested. Now, if the speed limit's 35 and I'm going 45, the police officer can give me grace, but only if there's a speed sign. I'm trying to help some people. You'll never break the laws of God, they'll break you. You're not above them, you're not beneath them. Jesus fulfilled the law. And so, you know, you can't walk in the love of God and be a thief. Okay, that didn't go over. Let's move on. Okay. I will talk about a different thing. What does it say in the Bible? That God will share his glory with no man, correct? Yet in John 17, Jesus said, the glory that you've given me, I'm asking you to give to them. So which is it? Which is true? They both are true. They're both in the Bible. So the real question is, you'll never do anything great unless the glory of God comes into you. But are you going to give it all back to him, or are you going to start shoplifting? Like, I am pretty good. I mean, back in the 70s, I'm bad, you know, which that means good, and now it's sick, and I think that means you're something else. Anyway, I'm still hung up with groovy. Anyway, so let's move on. So the prophetic word, I saw like a board by your right ear, like I saw, I don't know what it was, like boards, like in fencing or something, and I felt like there's, I don't know if you do any building with fences or what, or if you're putting up a fence or maintenance work. Okay. But what I saw was a fence. Now, it's like a prophetic picture. I felt like God was saying, my son, I'm keeping a barrier between you and that so you can keep your vision straight ahead. And it was like a high fence above your head. And the Lord said, if you keep looking ahead, then you'll be able to hear my voice, and I want you to keep walking straight. And this is the deal also. I felt like, don't be offended. Walk in front of it, but don't let it become a blocking point. Because, and I'm going to say this to everybody, whenever the enemy brings an offense against you, it's to take you out of a path that God has in front of you. It's never about what you're being hit with. It's what it takes you out of. Okay? So anyway, and I just felt that the fire of God's going to be on your heart in a whole new way. So let's see what God does. Okay, so here we are. And I'm going to talk about this just a minute. Shattering the limitations of pain. How many of you know pain is a good teacher? Like if you touch a hot stove and it burns you, it teaches you don't touch a hot stove. How many of you ever touched a hot stove? Okay, how many know you just do it once? And everything after that, it's an accident. But the thing is, what if you dream in God and you get burnt and you get hurt? You know what that tells you? Based on the hot stove, don't dream anymore. And an event becomes your identity. And you become afraid to dream. Do you know this is a fact in the David book? 80% of all millionaires today went bankrupt 3 times. They never let an event become their identity. They just looked at it as a failure. You know Hershey. So he kept on with, after 3 bankruptcies, Lancaster wouldn't let him open up another business with chocolate. They said, you've sunk 3 times? We're done with you. How many know they were done with him, but he hadn't had his best day yet? So if you let a failure stop you, we'll never know. You could have been Hershey, who stopped before you got to the chocolate. Could we have 2 bars of chocolate when we leave? Okay, I feel like I need to do that. See, I feel hungry for chocolate as I talk about it. So This is what I talk about. Whenever you have pain, you start getting a negative identity toward yourself. I am a failure instead of that was a failure. Everybody say, failure is an event. I'm not a failure. Now, I want you to say this. God created me a winner. Sin made me a loser. I was born again to win again. Do you know that you were never, God never created you a failure or a sinner that needed to be saved. He created you a winner and you chose to sin. And sin took away the winning ability. And so when you get born again, you have to realize you're not damaged goods that God's covering with his grace. You're now being restored to the genius God put in you. Does that make sense? And I asked God one time, he asked me, he said, Dale, how do you see yourself? Now, you know, when God asks you a question, you know you're not going to get the right answer. But you need to have a conversation. It's not like he knows I'm going to nail it. He's giving me an A. It means I have to change my mind. So whenever God gets ready to ask you a question, it's because there's something you're about to learn. I'm just telling you, as a prophet, I've been through it, and I'm still going through it. I got delivered 2 weeks ago of something that really upset me. It upset me so bad, I knew there was something wrong in me. And, one time God told me, he said, Dale, do you know how long I had to set this thing up to get to you to show you the last buttons? He said, I'm really committed to you. I said, you don't have to be that committed. You don't have to love me that much. I said, come on, keep on loving me that much, because how many of you know less of me, more of him is really an exciting life, but it'll cost you a little bit. So, what was I saying about the story? Help me out. She wasn't listening, my wife. What was I saying? Oh, he said, Dale, how do you see yourself? I said, I see myself above average. He said, I have two problems. I'm thinking he probably had more. He said, first of all, I didn't die for you to be above average. I died for you to win. And number two is, above average means you're comparing yourself to someone else. And you have to compare yourself to what I called you to do. 100-yard sprinter cannot compare himself to a marathon runner. You're comparing yourself to another person. You're not even in the same race. And if you try to use their strategy, it'll make you a loser. Can you imagine a 100-yard dash? Say, I got to save my energy till the end. Can you imagine a marathon sprinting everything he had? And don't ever compare your journey to someone else's. Don't ever. So shattering limitations of pain. And I'm going to give this to, this woman right here. What's your name? Cheryl. So Cheryl, one of the things I see when you stood up, I just saw like a cylinder of glory come down on you. And I felt like I saw an olive branch come up out of you of intercession. And God said, I'm gonna cause there to be a waymaker anointing come through you in this season. Is there Rob? I don't know. I hear, huh? That's what I thought, Rob. Yeah, I just saw him coming in. You're surprised? So am I. I heard God say, Rob, I said, you got to be kidding me. I don't normally get names like that, but it's been happening. I've been asking for more, so thank you, Lord. It's not a learned gift. It's just the intimacy with him. I hear whispers, and I listen to him. But so, Father, we bring Rob in Jesus' name. Lord, you know him by name, and Lord, you would not give me his name if you weren't doing something great. And I want to just say something to Rob. I don't know why, but I felt like I saw him in his car. And you know, I remember the days when I was a teenager, you do things, spin out, and you do in a circle and smoke, and then you go straight. And I just felt like that this is going to be a time God's turning his anger into direction. And where he was wounded, God's dropping oil in his heart. And I felt that God was even going to break off what broke him in a relationship in Jesus' name. Amen. How many know the Lord's good? Okay. So, wow. Say that backwards. Wow. Okay. I'm very serious about what I do, but I really enjoy the Lord. And I tell you, because lives get changed, and you have to learn that when you walk with him, there is a deep joy. And sometimes I use humor just to let you know I'm still a person. And when I would get down, my wife says, your jokes are all bad, then that keeps me humble. Okay. You feel my pain? I forgive you for him. Okay. Anyway, so I wanted to give this one. The throne of David, I put leadership and authority, the force of vision. The only thing I want to say about this is this line, change does not come to earth because we believe we must be willing to lead. Everything on earth hinges on leadership. And in it, remember what the angel said to Mary? Unto your son I'm giving the throne of David. Of all the people that would receive the throne of David, we talk about the seed of David, which is Christ, the seed of David. Think about that phrase. There was something in David that lined up with the Messiah. There was a seed in him. And I'm going to tell you something. When I was a younger prophet, I would look, I say, Lord, there has to be a David out here somewhere. Male or female, that's not the issue. It's a heart. God's not on a talent search. He's on a heart search. God, really, your talent level is not impressive to him. Your heart level is. And when your heart level's right, he'll take care of the talent deficit. And you'll be anointed to do whatever he's called you to do. I never thought I'd write a book that would be in 9 languages. I'm serious. I never thought I'd stand in front of that woman and get the name Rob and know it's her son. I believe for it, but I never thought in a, you don't hear what I'm saying? But God always knew I would. So what does God know about you that you don't yet know? I'd hang out with him until you get an update. I'm telling you. I mean, I could tell you stories. I mean, they're all true, and they're not fish stories. It's not exaggerated. You know what I'm saying? You know, when they said the church was comfortably full, that means when people laid down on the seats. I heard something. Okay. So the throne of David, and I wanted to give this to, I want this guy with the gray shirt, if you just come up here, and this is really deals with understanding authority, and I just want to say this, the devil will try to get you to judge people that misuse authority so you can't use authority. He'll try to hurt you in that realm. And I just want to say one more thing. If you've never had somebody that helped you up into a position, put you down, you cannot be a David. King Saul made a place for David, then became insecure. They were great friends, and then he came insecure, then he started hunting him down. Now, anyway, there's more to it, but I'll get to that later. But say your name again is... Matt. So Matt, when you came up and I felt to call you up, I felt like God said he's remantling your level of authority and giving you a greater understanding. I keep looking at you and I just see 40. I think you might be a couple of years older. So where are you at, 45 or what? 50, okay, Jubilee. Okay, that's good. Okay, so I feel that something in 40 is about to turn into a Jubilee. I feel like there's a 10-year turnaround, and you're going to start seeing how David walked with the realm of authority that caused Israel to come back into worship. And I felt there was something stolen that God said, I'm going to restore in this year, your 50th year. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll... so I came today... So I just got laid off from my job on Friday as a nurse anesthetist. And it was the joy of the Lord, because it was exactly what you said, the misuse of authority from leadership at where I worked. And the Lord has said, he's moving my wife and I into a full-time ministry position. And with the military and military families and the details of that, but it's a total confirmation of exactly what you're saying. That's why I was here today, is Lord, that you would confirm that you're moving me into a new throne of authority and a whole new.
And I just happened to pick you up.
Yes, yes.
You mean how about God happened?
Yeah, amen, amen.
Now, how many of you realize? Do you know, this is a part I just want to say, when we relax, we walk into the miraculous. When people get like this too much, I get nervous. It's like, you know, there's a place for shaking, but I mean, I'm talking about where people try to think really hard. We are just receivers. We're not achievers. Now, after I receive it, it's like a football receiver. Do you know how they catch the ball? They run the route and they put their hand up before they see the ball. How many know, Christians, your hands have to be up before the miracle comes? See, some of you are worshiping not because everything's right, because God is right. And then if you keep your worship up, then Rob's coming in. He's getting his answer. Lord knows what else he's doing in this house. Isn't this a great day? I tell you, I'm actually enjoying coming to church. Even there was one time the church service was so boring, I couldn't wait to get over. But I couldn't figure out how to end a sermon. So anyway, I said, Lord, just help me end it so I can get out of this. It's the worst sermon I've ever heard. Thank you. God bless you. I was a young pastor. Serious. You think I'm kidding? I want you to say this, everybody right now, to say, I break my judgments against people where they've used authority incorrectly, and I've judged authority, and now I have none because I called it evil. But God has authority, and he's glorious, and it's loving. Do you understand anything you judge, you cannot use? And I will tell you this. Do you know, as a prophet, you know what the biggest thing the devil tried to get me to do? Judge other prophets, because that cripples me. And I've actually sat down and talked with another prophet and discussing another prophet in a negative way. And when I got up, I felt less anointed. I'm not kidding you. I could tell the difference, and I had to repent. And if I don't repent, my wife reminds me that I should. So that's why it's good to be married. I'm serious. She'll tell me, you should have backed off. But, you know, I was getting pretty righteous about it. I know none of you can relate to that, but see, you can be anointed or annoyed, but you can't be both. To the level you're annoyed, you're not anointed. To the level you're anointed, you're not annoyed. And, you know, can you imagine Jesus taking Judas around, knowing he's a thief, a betrayer, and you put him in charge of the money? And Jesus had to have enough money that Judas could steal it and nobody knew it. If he was only down to two shekels or two whatever, and if one was gone, they'd know it. So anyway, just a thought. Okay. Oh, honey, do you want to say anything about this book? Okay. This book, how many of you have heard of Mary Tyler Moore? Do you know this was the last book read to her before she went to be with the Lord? We believe she made it after all. There was a, yeah. Some of you that watch this show, you got that, yeah. Now, let me just tell you what happened. We were actually in Lancaster, and a woman came up who was very plain Mennonite, and she said, could I get this book for Mary Tyler Moore? And my wife looked at her and said, do you know who she is? She said, no, she never watched TV. And Mary Tyler Moore, she was hiring conservative Mennonite girls to be in her house just because she trusted them to be around her husband in the house, you know what I'm saying? Because they would live in her $13 million house up in Connecticut. Well, she took this book and read it to her. She said, I got to keep reading more. Now, Mary Tyler Moore was Catholic, but not a real good one because she was married to a Jewish guy. You understand that. It's sort of like if you're Amish and you marry a Baptist, you're not a good Amish. Okay, sort of same thing. So, but in it, the prayer of salvation was in there. She read it, said, read me more. And after she was done, she went in the hospital. In less than a week, she was gone. But she said, I have to go talk to the Father about this. And she just kept on reading. And you know, when my wife was 9 years old, she never thought she'd write a book that a woman on TV would read that would lead her to heaven. But I believe that Mary Tyler Moore is going to give my wife a real big hug when we have that reunion. And I wonder, she'd probably throw her hat again. You know? Isn't that amazing? So do you want to give this to somebody, honey? I'm going to let you give it. Here. Just go ahead. No, don't yet. Okay, give it to her. Okay, that, and we bless you. So this one, and so she must say your name again. Sarah, okay. Yeah, so Sarah, now this is interesting. I felt like I looked at you and I saw you like 15 years old, and I felt like God was actually just taking and lifting your heart up. And he was taking your, and I saw him like you were being baptized in the river of life. And you went face down and heard God say, and I don't know if there's some shift. And sometimes when you're 15, it's something negative and also something positive can be together. But anything negative, I cut off in Jesus' name. And everything that worked for the good, I release in Jesus' name. And I felt that there's an unhooking. But it's like, I haven't seen this before. It's like when you were baptized, instead of going back, you went face down. And I heard the Lord say, your birth was not your identity. That was just your entrance point into the earth. And the Lord said, what you overcame, I give you authority to bring deliverance to others. And I saw God taking you into a dream. And he said, I'm the Father that loves you, and I'm putting another mantle of honor on you that you've never received, that's going to allow you to flower in this next season. Now, and now this is interesting. I saw the number 33, and you're not 33. But did you have a child at 33, or you guys? You have what? Right in that area, yeah, okay. Four is not that many. My wife was one of nine, and she was the eighth, and they weren't Catholic or Mennonite. but her mother went to a Catholic doctor who, he said, you need to keep on having children. And I'm glad for him, because otherwise I wouldn't have her. Number eight, new beginnings. Okay. And just so people know, she is collecting Social Security. I know she looks young. Okay. Her brother thinks, her son, they say, oh, I didn't know you had a younger sister, because he has a real heavy beard, you know. So anyway, hi, Mike, if you're watching. Anyway, so, but she looks very young. But this is a part. I saw the Lord stir the waters, and I felt that even in the next 3 months, there's even going to be a deeper healing of the troubled waters you've had to navigate. And I just saw a glory coming all over your face. And God said, there's going to be a new level of joy and peace. Amen. And I want to go back to something just to share shortly. You know, about 2 weeks ago when I really got upset. How many of you know when you're right and you could tell, you want to give somebody a piece of your mind and there's not much peace in it. You just want, but, and you know you have them dead to right. In other words, they're like picking a little thing in you and there's this big thing in them. And I knew God was up to something. And I said, I can't answer. Because I said, I gave an answer and then their response was worse. I said, this is not working. You know, you ever been there? I said, we are not even on the same street, let alone the same town. We are a world apart and I'm talking to somebody who's a babe in Christ and I'm having a father conversation and I could be offended thinking that they know more than me. But what it did, it took me right back to a childhood memory that was parallel to that. And the Lord said, I want to unhook you from this. It wasn't a new event, but whenever you have pain, that's when to go for counseling. Because you go to a doctor and they say, where does it? Okay, until you hurt, you can't help. The doctor can't help you. You go to a doctor and say, I'm sick. Where does it hurt? I don't know. Well, you better tell me where it, and see, your emotions is when you find out where you hurt, then you can actually progress forward because wherever you're wounded, your discernment is compromised. I didn't say you don't have any, it's compromised. If you've been bit by a dog, and I have two nice little dogs, you'll flinch because of your past wounds. You know, and I can tell when people have been bit by dogs because it's painful. Now, one of the things that I see right now, and I don't know what time it is. What time do we want to quit around 12? That's about good. Okay. It's 7 in Hawaii. Good. Okay, so I'm just kidding. Everybody's getting nervous now. Okay. I learned that from another preacher. Okay. So this is the deal. And I want to come around to this. David, and I talk about identity, but I'm going to give you the crux of it. And I want to start off with the church. If I could just have three people come up on the stage real quick. Please let there be one man. Here we go. We got one man coming up here. Okay. So in the body of Christ, we've had great teaching on the anointing and faith. Does that make sense? And listen, it's very, very important. But let's just suppose, you just sort of one here and one in the middle. Let's suppose that he is a Lamborghini, she is a boat, and she is a helicopter, okay? Okay, now, if I put the oil and gas, faith and anointing in her, she has the ability to land somebody from a ship to a hospital to do a very, very specific thing. But if I put her in the water, doesn't work and really can't race like a Lamborghini. But if I put gas and oil into her, she's a boat, she can navigate the ocean of God's glory. But if I put gas and oil in him, he can race and enjoy being on the Autobahn. Okay, now the thing is the oil and gas is faith and anointing. But until you align with what God made you, which one is not better than the other, but each is different. Are you with me? And see, the problem is we focused on oil and anointing, faith, gas and oil, anointing and faith. But if you don't understand who you are, you'll not align with your assignment. Your assignment, if you align with your assignment, the anointing gets stronger because you were made to do this. Now, you know, she can get a trailer and somebody can pull her down the road with another vehicle. She can be faithful in another area, but her anointing will be stronger when she's in the water. So there's a time, somebody say, well, I'm not called to do that. It's not about calling. We just need somebody to be faithful. But when you understand what you do, so when I was a pastor, then Bishop Bill Hammond said, Dale, you're not a pastor who prophesies, you're a prophet who pastors. It was like he put my baseball cap on backwards, and I realized, now this is the deal. When I stand in front of the Lord on that day, he's not going to ask me about pastoring a church, even though it was important, I did it for 40 years, but he's going to say, Dale, were you the prophet first? Because what I'm called to first is the first thing he's going to ask me about. Does that make sense? And see, I believe God, if Moses came up to heaven and Moses, you know, Moses, what are you doing here? What do you mean? My children are still in Egypt. What are you doing coming to my heaven without doing what I made you for? See, the devil has us worried, am I going to get into heaven or going to hell? No, you should know you're going to heaven. These things are written that you have eternal life. It's not pride. It's the word of God. If you have Jesus, you believe he's the Son of God, you've asked him into your life, you may have issues and tissues and problems, but you're still saved. You're forgiven. It's a miracle. Okay, so in it, if she starts reading books on how to drive on the Autobahn, it's going to keep her from her genius. Does that make sense? Have a general overview, but would you please study how to land that helicopter on boats at hospitals, because you'll save people in a way. And this is the deal. If you have an anointing for faith healing, you should read all the scriptures with the idea, show me the scriptures of healing. If you're an intercessor, every story, look where prayer played a part in it. Does that make sense? And become an expert in an area. How many of you would like to go to have a guy come to fix your house and say, what can you fix? He said, well, I can fix everything. Well, I got a heat, air conditioner. He said, well, I'm not an expert, but I can fix one or two of them. How many of you know, you don't want a guy that can fix everything. You want the guy that can fix that brand. And okay, so how many of you know, if that's what you want, God is at least as smart as us. So what I'm saying to you is, wherever you have fruit, get better at it. Sometimes, and I'm going to tell you this, you do certain things intuitively, and you're really awesome at it, but you think everybody operates at that level, and it's a major mistake. So in my book, you know, if you go through it, ask friends, new friends, old friends, when they think of you, what do they think of? Ask God, where have I been the most fruitful? Where do I give you the most glory? See, one of the things is I was a pastor 40 years, and people call me Apostle Dale, Prophet Dale, and then some people just call me Dale. And my wife has another list for me, depending if I got the honey list done or if we're in good, you know, how we're doing. She has different names. Okay, so, but through all of that, I want you to think, help me, Jesus, I went too far. Okay. So I get so far out in the limit, it breaks and I have to get back to the tree. Okay, so what was I saying about the... Stay in your line, okay, and know where your genius is. So in it, I after being a pastor 40 years, thank you, Jesus, I said, well, people call me apostle, and I sort of like that. I'm a father to fathers, a prophet to prophets, And the Lord interrupted me, and he said, Dale, I want you to be known as Prophet Dale. I said, well, I prefer apostle. Okay, I'll be Prophet Dale. And he said, I want you to help deal, by being a prophet, help clean up some problems. And I preferred to be an apostle or pastor, but God preferred me to be a prophet. And say, so since when I did that, then I'm getting words like this and that because I'm aligning with my assignment, not what I prefer. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is? He's called the what? The Comforter? That's to make you comfortable in the midst of being uncomfortable doing what God called you to do. How many figure it out? He said, I'm going to calm you down because in your natural, you don't want to do this. But you're going to feel the comfort, and then it's because I'm in you. It's not because you're just good at it. It's because we're together in it. So anyway, I want to thank you all for coming up and helping with this. Now, as they go down, I want you to think about this. David had enough faith to kill Goliath. His faith was totally functional. What did he say to King Saul? I've killed what? The lion and the bear. What was the reward? You get to marry the king's daughter. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know if you need to marry a king's daughter to be considered the next king. You actually need to be a warrior to be the next king. The fact that King Saul was not fighting Goliath was him abdicating his responsibility as king. He led into battle. The problem is Saul was tall, head and shoulders. They got hooked on tall instead of God. And when tall meant taller, tall passed out. And they were used to him leading. And when Saul didn't go out against Goliath, none of them had a prayer because he was the tallest. And he abdicated his position as king. Now, I want to hold that thought a minute. When David ran toward Goliath, he ran toward God as a shepherd. He walked away as a warrior. Every victory is to change your identity, because once your identity shifts, now your responsibility increases. Does that make sense? Now, why wasn't David a warrior before that? When he was called in to play the harp, they referred to him as a warrior because he killed a lion and a bear, something even men didn't do. So he was a warrior, but he wasn't in the army because he was only 17 years old. Hebrew, you had to be 20 years old to be in the army. But if you kill Goliath, they'll put you in and let you be the captain the same week. I want to run behind the guy that killed Goliath. I feel a little bit better running behind David than a tall Saul. Does that make sense to you? So, but now it's not just, well, I show up because I want to. Now, you're in the army now. What you did in one event, we expect all the time, David. So people say, I'm not ready for that. No, I just wanted you to think I was blessed sort of slash lucky. You know, I don't want to. See, when you have a victory, you go to another level of service that you may have struggles with. And if you don't stay there, you're going to go back to the sheep. If you don't keep your identity in God, David, you're going to end up going back to the sheep. But God wants to promote you. And so David had the faith to kill Goliath. The reward is he gets to marry the king's daughter. Now, God needed David to marry a king's daughter so Israel would see him as the next king potential. Does that make sense? See, if anybody marries one of the Obama children, if they marry one of the Trump children, it lines them up for political career. If they marry a Kennedy, they have a political career by name. That's just the way it works, even in America. So if you look at this, David is standing there, 17 years old, oil's on his head. He sees tall Saul, robes flowing down. He's intimidated. And King Saul says, here, I'm going to give you my daughter, not Michael, Merib. Merib was the oldest daughter. In Jewish, you marry off the oldest girl, then the next girl. So that's the way they would do it. And David said, well, who am I and who's my family? Now, he never brought up himself or his family fighting Goliath. Why is he bringing up him? Who am I and who's my family? And what David was saying is, King, you're so tall, you're royal, you've been king all these years. I feel intimidated. And God looks down and says, David, if you're going to put his robes and height above the oil on your head, I'm going to let him chase you till you agree with me. David actually started King Saul chasing after him. And then what happens is, on his wedding day, when Merib was to be given to David, on his wedding day, King Saul gives her to another man. Now, man, just for a minute, on your wedding day, if your bride-to-be is a king's daughter and given away to another man, that is like total humiliation in front of the whole nation. Think about it. Then Michal, who was his wild child, says, oh, I love David, and David loved Michal. But Michal didn't love what David loved. Do you know you can love somebody who doesn't love what you love? And so what happens is Saul gives Michal to David because she's the wild child he could never control. He said, I know she's going to mess up David. Can you imagine going to that wedding? He's walking down smiling. Said, I'm so glad to get rid of her. She never listened to me. I know she won't listen to you. Do you know one of the reasons that King Saul chased David and tried to kill him? It's because Michal lied. Do you remember when they had that little statue and there was two servants there getting tried to kill David? And Michal said, no, you need to flee, David. And she let him out the window and then put a little statue with goat's hair around his head. And when they went in, and King Saul said to her, why did you let him go? What did she say? He told me if I didn't let him go, he'd kill me. She lied and put murder in her father's heart toward David. You mean you're going to kill my daughter? See, there was more than just David being demonized. His daughter lied. How would you like to have your wife lie to your father and your father hunt you down with a shotgun? That's really more truthful about the whole story. Doesn't that make it a little bit different in your mind? And when David didn't kill him the second time, then Saul started seeing, I think my daughter lied to me. I mean, he wanted to believe the lie about David, but I'm saying, I think it finally, he said, you're more righteous than me, David. So this is the deal. Your faith could be totally functional, but your identity cannot marry your future. So even for me, at 72 years old, I had to say, I will stand as a prophet in the body of Christ. I will marry my future. Does that make sense to you? I'll stick with the purpose heaven has for me. This is not a smorgasbord. And then also, I believe the last thing, the greatest thing I'll ever do is probably write books. Because they go around the world and they help people and they change people's lives. And I normally give this to the pastor, but I want to just minister a word to you, Pastor James. I've already ministered, but if both of you just stand up a minute, I just want to minister a word. Now, how many of you know what's on the head flows over the body? Okay. And I think when I came in, I saw the 10 years. Is that current? Okay, you know, and I felt like 10 years, a decade is a marking point. And I felt the next 2 years, God is going to strategize how to even move forward and to break some limitations. 12 is an apostolic number, and the Lord said, don't be in a hurry, but start to revision, start to plan, start to think ahead. And I saw like the glory of God resting over you. And the Lord said, you are like a David. You are a worshiper who's bringing back the glory of God. And I'm getting ready to shake off some things, even in the atmosphere of the community that would try to hold back what God is about to do. And I saw like a convergence in the spirit. And God said, there's a spirit of revival that I'm releasing into this area, into this church. And I felt like you're getting ready to have a series of dreams. Some you and some you, but dreams, and even some dreams will be in some of the leaders. And God said, you're going to not only think your way forward, you're going to dream your way forward. So, Father, I just release the glory of God. And, Lord, I release that Davidic heart, Lord, to pursue you with everything and to give you all the glory and all the honor. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing that arrests the kabod of God, the glory of God that rests in this house. And I don't know why, but when I'm looking at you, I just heard the number 51. Now, you're not 51. You're younger. Huh? Okay, 40. Okay. Now, this is interesting. But the number 11 is a transition number. And I feel like when you're 51, you're going to look back and you're going to say, from this point on, the transition started. And I felt like it wasn't just one. Whenever there's transition, normally it's a series. And I felt there's going to be three different transitions. But when you're 51, you'll look back and say, look what God did. But and then I felt 52, God said that it will be set in such a place that it will just take on another realm of glory. And I saw angels flying around this church, around the two of you. And God said, I've hid you from the enemy and I've kept his hands off of that which I've given you, but you're about to possess his gates. And I felt this, that, you know, when often we think of possessing the gates of hell, we think of people on drugs, drinking and all that. But one of the things you have to realize is the devil grew up, Lucifer, in a pretty holy place. He would prefer to come as an angel of light, a spirit of religion, than a demon with a red suit. He likes worship for himself. And he'd rather hang out in church than a bar. That's where he grew up. You have to understand. And when I heard God say, you're going to plunder the gates of hell, I heard this, the spirit of religion is going down in this Lancaster County, and the glory of God is coming up. And you know, in that is you're clapping, and I clap too. But what I keep saying is, Lord, show me any place it keeps trying to come back over me. You know, I don't want that thing on me. And it's, I'm telling you, he's a sneaky devil. But we have a revealing God. And so it's very, very important. I felt like I saw these three doors. They looked like they were like, one was like 6 inches. The other one was like 3 inches. And they were like, and they were thick themselves. And I think if you take and add them up, it even comes up to 11. If you look at the one door out of the way and you have two more going. But I feel like this is going to be a season where you see things start to come together. The one's a little bit more distant. The other ones are very close together. It's like 6 years, 3 years, and you're at 51, 52. And I felt like God said, you're going to drop your plow in and you're going to go to another level of seeding and harvest. I also felt there was something about that God is going to have you touch into South America. I don't know why I'm looking at South America, but I feel like there's something this church is going to do in South America. So, Father, we just release that in Jesus' name. And Lord, even other places. And I feel that God is even going to, Pastor James, that the prophetic is going to start growing stronger in your life with words of knowledge, just revelation by the Spirit in Jesus' name. And I felt this is going to be a comfort station to reveal and heal people's hearts. Reveal and heal, like you get to the root and you're healing. I felt like there's going to be trained counselors in this place, and that you're going to see a lot of people that have been shipwrecked restored to something they never were before in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just thank God for that. Now, I want to also end up. We have a little thumb drive. It used to be a stack of CDs like this that we charged over $300. And if you get this CD and I'm going to give this to you because there's a lot of good sermons on there. I don't have time to preach. Read them, preach them, and just mention my name at the end. That's all. Say some of this came from Dale, but you know. How many of you know that once you hear from somebody, it's what they said, then it's you remember, and then it's what you say. I wouldn't be saying a lot of things if I had not listened to some really anointed people. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like fresh manna. That you and each of I have the privilege to hear things. This book here, I want to, I'm looking around. I gave a book there and a book, I don't want any side to have rejection, okay? I want to have this guy with the gray shirt, yeah, come on up here. And I want to give you this David book. Now, you can get all this here for $99, and we do have a credit card. And we don't take children on trades, okay? You have to keep them. But $99, and if you just want the thumb drive. And you can get download if you go to dalemass.org. But the thumb drive is nice because you have it. And say your name again.
Cordell.
Okay, Cordell, this is interesting. I didn't see you up here. You weren't up here on the worship team, were you? Okay, but I couldn't tell. It almost felt like I saw your right hand. It was almost like on a piano keyboard, but then it was like on a computer keyboard. And I felt like God said, you're going to know how to make music through a computer. And you're going to know how to, and like when you write a song, you bring things together. But I felt that your life, it's almost like God is going to take you out of, I'm not really technical, but you know when your computer crashes or whatever and you just reboot and it just all comes back together. I really felt like God said, turn off the power and turn it back on and watch how I bring things into order. And I'm going to take you, son, from your anointing to my anointing, from your abilities to my abilities. And this is a really interesting thing. I saw that God said, you're going to be artistic in your mind. You're going to think things, and then you're going to draw them out. And you're going to think in pictures and ideas. And I just released that anointing to create and to flow. And last thing, and I don't know why, just I have to keep doing this. I just saw the number 32, and I think you're younger, right? 30? Yeah, you're 30. I feel this next 2 years, which two is the number of witness, you're going to see the hand of God in your life. And I saw you overcoming a major disappointment that's going to allow you to get your eagle wings back again. Amen. I love you, and I bless you. Amen. Amen. How many of you have ever had a rough season in your life? Okay. I tell the little story, you know, football, all these guys jumped in the middle, the ball flies up out, and there's a guy on the defense. He grabs the ball, takes off running, and everybody's waving, and he thinks they're rejoicing, and nobody's stopping him, and he's running the wrong way, okay? If you're running the right way, somebody's going to be hitting you. That's all I'm saying, okay? And I was talking to the Lord. I was actually a little bit complaining. I know you've never done it, but November the 16th, I buried my youngest brother and my oldest son on the same day. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, this is really hard carrying my cross. I said, I was fighting a little bit of depression. And I mean, both of them, you know, the Lord really touched them and it ended well. But it's still, that's a lot. And the fact that I thought about My sister, a year younger, had passed away less than a year and a half before that. And there's some other things I won't mention. And I said, Lord, it's not easy carrying this cross. And he said, well, Dale, you don't have to do it by yourself. He said, think of Jesus. Now, how many know when God tells you to think of Jesus, you're about to learn something you don't know? He said, I didn't make him carry his cross by himself. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I got the oppressor who was beating and yelling and cursing at him to grab somebody who didn't even know Jesus to help him carry it. Because I was a father, he ain't going to carry that all by himself. He said, if I'll get the oppressor and make him get a person that don't even know you to help you carry it, that's the kind of father I am. And you've judged me wrong. You think Jesus had to carry the whole thing up there? He said, I made people that didn't even know him or like him help him, because that's the kind of father I am. And don't ever think that you have to carry this cross by yourself. It was a couple hours later, and I got a call from a friend, and he hands out my book to different people. You know, when you're feeling a little bit down, and sometimes God has a way of encouraging you. And this man, Rocky, he's a good friend. He knows a lot of different people. He's a influential man in Nashville. And he said, Dale, I want you to talk to somebody. And he said, and I could tell the guy was really excited to talk to me. And he said, this is a guy that trains people in the military at a high level. And he got on the phone and he just told me, he said, you don't know what your book has done for me. And I'm leaving out the branch and all that, but just because. But I thought, you know, here I'm training. My book is not I'm training, but this guy who's training people at a high level within the military is being influenced by my book to be a David to those he is over. And I, all of a sudden the Lord said, see, I sent somebody you didn't know just to lift your cross a little bit. And he said, that's the kind of good father I am. Now, how many of you can rejoice in that? That what you've been through, don't ever feel like you have to carry it by yourself. And in this, I rejoice in him because he's a good, good father. If I was to say a couple things that I'm going to minister, just a couple of quick words, but don't ever underestimate your love or faith for somebody, what it can mean to them going down the road. And, you know, even I encourage you to do this, if we don't have enough books here, but, you know, I encourage you to get a book and give it to someone. I do it all the time. I'll take a book along with me and give it to somebody and talk to them. And I'll just say, you know, God loves you. There's something very special about you. And smile at them. Let them know God loves them. Because an evangelist wars for somebody's soul. A prophet wars for their destiny. You have a great salvation. You have a great destiny. And I'm going to tell you this. How many of you could believe for another 70 weeks to 3.5 years? Some people believe that maybe Jesus had 70 weeks of ministry, some 3.5 years. But if I'd have been God, I'd have kept him around for 30 to 300. Are you with me? How many of you can believe for some really good years in the next 10, next 5? God told me, he said, you're going to make more difference in this season than your whole ministry. Now, I want you just to stand up in the presence of the Lord. And and I'll be back there and sign some books. But I just want to say that my wife had those words, and she'll be out at the book table, and she can pray for you. We can have whatever. I don't know if you want to, they have them help, some people can help. But, and we'll touch, but this is what I heard the Lord say. And I want you just to close your eyes, like shut yourself in with God. And let it be just like my voice in you. There's nobody else around. Some of my greatest anointings I received was when a person said things and they never came to me, but the anointing was so deep it impacted me forever. I'm not looking for just one David. I'm looking for the David in you. The part of you that your heart is so after God. And in my spirit, in my vision, just like I got the name, I saw God pouring oil over people's hearts right now. He's pouring oil over your heart. David was overlooked by his father, yet chosen by God. It doesn't matter what other people think of you or even what you think of yourself. It's what he thinks of you. And he calls you son and daughter. He loves you deeply. So deep that it was joy that Jesus gave his life for you. It's like the gift of life. It's not just the blood. It's with joy. He wanted to redeem you so he could be with you. You were worth it to him. He put value on every person on the earth. And so, Lord, I just release the oil of David to flow over hearts right now. And, Lord, there would be a fresh vision, a fresh wind. Lord, if somebody's under the weight of that cross, Lord, let even the oppressor send a person they don't know to help them carry. Lord, you're just that good of a father. I pray the glory of God over these people. And I want you to know, you were made to hear the whispers of heaven. My sheep hear my voice. You don't have to be a prophet, just be a sheep. It's your birthright to hear your Father's voice. He's our Father. Say, my Father. Until you see him as your Father, you'll not pray the right way. You have so much favor with your Father. So much favor. Dream big. You have a big, big Father God. And Lord, I just thank you for the precious anointing in this house today. That as people leave, you would keep talking to them beyond my voice. And I want to encourage you today, when you get home or even between now and tomorrow, driving to work, get alone with God and just listen to him talk to you. That's what I did for years. He would talk to me, and then he started talking through me. And so, Father, I thank you for that anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you receive that today? Just say, I receive it. I'm telling you, get ready to have an amazing life. Your best days are in front of you. And it's going to be great.